Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Yes, once again, that is the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's www.webtalkradio.net. Glad to have you. New listeners, welcome. We are growing because you are telling your friends and neighbors about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We give you innovative shows and some unique things you hear on this show you won't hear anywhere else. We're glad you're listening, glad you're telling your friends and neighbors. And this show is titled Tornadoes, Life, and Politics. And we're going to take them in that order. We do have a lot of politics to get to. And that includes the Benghazi emails that just surfaced that the White House reluctantly or somehow didn't get to the congressional hearings. Also got Congressman Benny Thompson is making some very racial comments. Congressman from Mississippi, Democrat, makes racial comments. What does that mean for America? We'll talk about that. And then we have some ads about the campaigns that are going on right now, right here in America. Talked about them last week. We got a few more I want to play. So we've got a lot of politics. But before we get to the politics, first, I want to talk about tornadoes. And why? Well, take a listen to this right here. It happened where we record in Tupelo, Mississippi. This was a live broadcast that was recorded last week.
Touchdown has been confirmed at this instant. You'll have to give me a second. We took a power key here at the studio, and I have to get all of my ability to look and see things back. Let's see if we're still on the air. You've got to be in your tornado safe. We're still on the air. This is a tornado emergency for Lee County. This is a tornado ripping through the city of Tupelo as we speak, and this could be deadly. Let's go tower cam. There's a damaging tornado on the ground right now. A significant tornado touchdown. Everybody basement now. Basement now. Let's go. Now.
Well, that was Tupelo's meteorologist, WTVA television station, Matt Laban. And he was, and this video went viral because that happened. And he told everybody, basement now. And people across Tupelo were listening. I was listening to him before we lost our power or the connection to the television station. It went blank, and we were wondering, where's the tornado? What we need to do? And my family was getting ready to huddle down underneath the staircase where we have a safe place. And I have to tell you, we were blessed because our house, we lost a few shingles, but nothing like what so many across Tupelo, the city I live in, the city we broadcast from, Tupelo, Mississippi, the birthplace of Elvis. It's not a stranger to tornadoes. It has one of the most deadliest tornadoes in America back in the 1936. Over 200 people were killed in a tornado. And I can tell you, without the advanced weather predicting capabilities, there would have been deaths all over Tupelo. And it's amazing, in fact, a miracle that the city, within the city of Tupelo and the outskirts, there were no fatalities. There was one fatality on the road in the county due to the storm. But you see the people coming out of the rubble and realize not a single life in Tupelo was was taken from this storm. It was a monster storm coming through, just devastating homes. And so many people I know that have lost entire homes, and many of trees are in, fell into their homes. And there's so much work that needs to go on. So that's why we're talking about tornadoes, because it wasn't just Tupelo. The tornadoes that were so deadly ripped through the Midwest and Oklahoma and Arkansas, went on through Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and many parts, the Midwest and South, just experienced storms last week. And this is not the first time, and it won't be the last time. That's why they call it Tornado Alley. But we do have to sit back, and that's what I want to do on this show, not to cause empathy anymore about the victims of the tornado here as opposed to any other place, but to realize tornadoes, life, and politics. What's important? Life is important. Life is so important. And tornadoes remind us the sovereignty of the Lord God Almighty. Now, some people don't want to believe in God, but it's sort of like a, they say there's no atheist in a foxhole. When the house is rattling and shaking at the foundations and somebody knows they're about to, the end could be very near in a matter of seconds, somehow there's that belief in God. And no telling how many people told the news reporters and others that they were reading their Bibles, they were praying, they were holding on to each other and praying as the tornado ripped away the house around where they were trying to stay safe, in the bathrooms with mattresses over the bathtub, or in the pantries under the staircases and in the basements. So many things happened. So many stories I could tell you, and you've heard them before in different variations. But there were heroes. There was one young man from Tupelo, and he was at the University of Alabama when the storms had come through Tupelo, and he was a swimmer for the University of Alabama swim team. Always wanted to be that, and always wanted to be a hero. And that tornado hit, and it caused, they were in the basement, and it caused the supporting wall to crumble, and he held that supporting wall up as his girlfriend escaped. And it crushed him, and he died. Died a hero. There's another man in the South, and he was a father, and he was showing a picture of his son who perished. His son was a military veteran. Had gone through tours of duty in Iraq, Afghanistan. And he died as he put his body over his wife and his young children who lived, because he protected them. Heroes across the South, across the Midwest, and with these tornadoes ravaged through. And you have to put life in perspective. Politics are so important for this country, and you've heard it from this microphone for years now. And that's why you listen. We talk about things that touch the heart, but there's nothing more touching than realizing so many people were right on the doorstep of meeting their maker. And they were spared. And some of them weren't spared, as I've told you about. And the families are affected. Many are in hospitals. Some hospitals were hit. In Louisville, Mississippi, a hospital was hit. And now that community is having to decide what they can do to get the health care they need. So the needs are apparent. But the sovereignty of Lord God Almighty, that you can think everything is fine and dandy. Look, I was practicing dentistry, and then we realized that, and I told you about the weather. We knew a day before, and so many businesses started shutting down. We knew a bad system was coming. We shut down. Most businesses in Tupelo did, and people sought shelter. And if it wasn't for that warning, was it not for the knowledge of the severity of the storm, so many lives may have been lost. Look, the schools let out at 12:30 to give the children time to get home and find places of shelter. And that's one reason, because of the the accuracy of her forecasting, even though you don't know where a tornado is going to hit down, people were better prepared. And like I said, in 1936, there's a tornado that killed over 200 people in Tupelo. So this city has a history of tornadoes, a history of respecting the force of nature. And at the same time, that combination, you can't stop a disaster from happening. People's livelihoods. But I know a young lady that was scheduled to see me at the office last week for some dental work, and she called and said she couldn't make her appointment. They were okay, but they lost everything, their entire home, what they built, spent the last 20 years of their life building together, her husband and their family and the children, and everything was gone. But the thing about the tornadoes, bringing communities together, and we talked about that last week, was also the National Day of Prayer for our nation. And there were prayer services I attended in Tupelo. There's a couple of them to observe the National Day of Prayer. And seeing the sense of community. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, a Republican, or independent. Nobody asked what you were. If somebody needed help, it didn't matter the color of your skin. It didn't matter where you went to church or if you didn't go to church. It didn't matter if you were Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Hindu. People were helping people. And that's the note of hope and courage and faith and love, that America is a place where we help each other. In a time of need, you can count on Americans to help each other. And may it forever be so. And when it comes to politics, they drive our nation forward or in reverse, and it's so important. But it's not more important than life. Politics, you can always say, we'll win in 4 years or in 2 years. We can come back. But when life is gone, it's gone. Our time on earth is numbered. Everyone born knows there'll be a day to die. We don't know what day it is. The young lady who lost her life in the vehicle during the storm, she was 39 years old. I know the family. She got two fine young boys and a great husband. And she did not know she was going to meet her maker that day last week. Nobody, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how young you may be, no matter if you think you're going to live till you're 100 and you're just 18 years old, or if you're a child, we don't know when death can snatch life away. And that's what the tornado reminds us. And so many people lost their homes. But as soon as the storm was over, the chainsaws came out. There were trees and power lines and the first responders getting the power off, getting things connected or unconnected, and the power saws coming in and cutting through. People didn't even ask who needed to know what. They saw where trees were in houses, and power saws came out, and people came from nowhere coming in to move the logs, to move the limbs, to help out, to get people out, to make sure they're okay. The sheriff's office, the police department, the fire department, people working together to help people, and people in the community coming out. What do you need? Making food lines, placing food, getting the Red Cross in, getting the churches involved. And people were helping people. They still are. It'll take months and even years to rebuild some of these places and businesses. But the bottom line is, when you talk about tornadoes and life and politics, well, politics has to take a back seat, because life is important. And it reminds us every day we have to live life to its fullest. And there's what I really want to get across to you is, no one knows the time they'll be called away from earth. And I do believe in life after death. And as a Christian, there's things that I believe that I hold dear. And it carries me forward even in the face of death. But I want you to know, as Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, as this show goes, it's very important to respect and love life and respect even those we disagree with politically. You know, if you listen to this show, that I disagree with most policies of President Barack Obama. But he is my president, and he is the president of the United States. And I respect the office. I respect him as my president. And I do want everyone to know that one of the things of faith, hope, and love in politics is there's another election always coming. And that inspires hope. It's carried America through. Our Constitution has kept this nation together through the bickering, through the fighting. And when tragedy happens, like the tornadoes, it reminds us that if we lose everything, material possessions can be replaced. It's the life that's so important. It reminds us, if our house is intact and others are broken down and torn them up and been blown away, there but for the grace of God go I. It reminds us that we have to help our fellow man. We have to understand, like Alveda King tells us, there's not a bunch of races. There's one race, and it's called a human race. And love can overcome so much, so much. And that's the one thing I want you to know when we talk about tornadoes. It reminds us about life, how precious it is. And some have lost their lives. And we pray and we are thinking of those families who lost loved ones and those who lost their material possessions and homes that can be rebuilt. And it's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of time. And it's going to take a lot of people working together along with government agencies. There's a time and place for good government. This is it. And now I just want to remind you that you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. This is a little bit of an unusual show. We started out talking about a tornado that ripped through Tupelo, Mississippi, but it wasn't the only place. All throughout several states last week. And our hearts go out for those who are in tragedy, or who are have not only witnessed it or going through it and having to rebuild lives. And now, as we talk about life, there is a place for politics, and we're going to kick it in on the second half of this show, because there are some very important things to talk about, but not more important than knowing that life is precious, knowing that our time on earth is numbered. No one knows when that day is going to come for each person, but we know it's coming. And we want to make the most of every day. That's what these tornadoes remind us. And it reminds us to love those who love us and reach out to those who don't love us. And reminds us that even though we have political enemies and those that we oppose their policies, we love the person. We love the souls. And that's why we're going to start out with our first story, a political story now. For this week, we're going to go to a political ad in the state of Michigan. We talk about all the states and how important it is for the Republicans to pick up some Democratic states that are represented now in the Senate and able to try to take away the majority from and get Harry Reid away from being the majority leader. And where is one of those states? It is the state of Michigan. There is an open seat that Senator Levin is retiring, and he's a Democrat. So the Democrats usually do very well in Michigan, especially in Senate races, and have been for decades. And now there is a challenge. There is a lot going on in Michigan, and one of the congressmen, a Democrat who's running for the seat, had made some despairing remarks about a war on women that the Republicans have. And so let's listen to the Republican candidate respond to that. Here's Terry Lynn Land, Republican candidate for United States Senate in Michigan.
I'm Terry Lynn Land. Congressman Gary Peters and his buddies want you to believe I'm waging a war on women. Really? Think about that for a moment. I'm Terry Lynn Land, and I approve this message because as a woman, I might know a little bit more about women than Gary Peters.
All right, and I think Terry Lynn Land does know more about women than Congressman Peters, and I hope that she whips his tail come November. So let's watch that Michigan race and see how which way the wind's blowing in Michigan. But we do have a lot to talk about on politics. And one of the things that last week, what happened, some emails came out from the White House that they were required by law because of a Freedom of Information Act that forced them to bring out some emails about Benghazi, and these very emails should have been sent to the congressional committee that was looking into the whole Benghazi affair, or Benghazi Gate, whatever you want to call it, when we had four Americans die in Libya because we were told at first it was from a video that had nothing to do with an attack on the American embassy at Benghazi. And there's four Americans dead, and there seems to be a cover-up, especially of these letters that came out, and now there looks like to be a cover-up of the cover-up. And that's what Charles Krauthammer said. And Doc Holliday has been saying from day one, anybody with half a brain can tell there's something going on. And where there's smoke, there's fire. And how many reporters in the mainstream media would, you know, if this was a Republican, they would hammer away. I can remember when they thought they had Karl Rove on the ropes and thinking he had leaked out some information about the CIA. And I won't go all into that detail, but they hammered Karl Rove week after week trying to break through the armor of the White House, and Karl Rove had nothing to do with it. And at the same time, this same press corps with the Barack Obama team in the White House, it's like they're the cheerleaders, and they'll look away. And if something is a blatant lie, like last week, let me just play you a little clip. Some of you may have heard it from ABC News. That's not a conservative news outlet. And this was a reporter from ABC News talking with Mr. Carney, the White House press secretary, and the press secretary, Mr. Carney, he was running around the bushes. He was not telling the truth. And why will not the mainstream media just jump his case? And I don't know. But listen to this confrontation between ABC News reporter and Mr. Carney.
Why were you holding back this information? Why was this email not turned over to the Congress? Why was it not released when you released all the other emails? This is directly relevant. Why did you hold it back?
John, again.
Why did it take a court case for you to release this email?
John, I can say it again and again, and I know you can keep asking again and again. This document was not about Benghazi.
It was her prep for the Sunday show.
It wasn't her only prep, John.
Well, John Carl of ABC News and Mr. Carney, the White House spokesman, went on. It's about a 10-minute span back and forth, and I don't believe John Carl's answer question was ever answered. And you can see the White House is stonewalling, and part of the time, John Carl said, we know this part. What you said last year was not true. Will you correct the record? And Carney would not do that. Very interesting. Where is the media that fought for Watergate and took down Nixon? Where is the media that wants the truth? Where, please, dear God in heaven, would we please get somebody that wants the truth and is worth willing to dig for it? Benghazi, the questions why four Americans are dead needs to be answered. We've talked about on this show many times in the past, and the Democrats are so scared of the election, they'll call it politics. They have been covering up, and now it's like Charles Krauthammer on Fox News said, it's a cover-up of a cover-up. Please, come on. We need some truth, and we need some truth-sayers to go out there. Not soothsayers. We need some truth-sayers to come out of the White House and tell what really happened. We could go more into that, but our time tells us we got to move on because there's something that happened, and everyone knows now that the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers NBA basketball team, Mr. Sterling, was banned from the NBA for some racist remarks he made in the privacy of his home. I'm not going to defend Mr. Sterling. By no means I won't defend him. What he said was offensive. It was uncalled for, and somebody that makes those kind of statements deserves the punishment they get. Now, they're going to try to sell the L.A. Clippers, the basketball team, from him. They gave him a $2.5 million fine, as well as banning him from the NBA, a massive statement from the new NBA commissioner. But what I want to know, there is such demand. And then we have a United States congressman from Mississippi, my home state. And I know Congressman Benny Thompson's the district he's from, know it very well, District 2 in the state of Mississippi, but he goes on national TV, and he in a broadcast of CNN, the interviewer gave him a chance to clear the record, say, what do you mean? But he called our Supreme Court Justice, Clarence Thomas, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, he called him an Uncle Tom. Now, it's an offensive racial slur from a congressman to a Supreme Court justice because of the color of his skin and the kind of politics that Justice Clarence Thomas supports. But that's a racial slur. It's offensive, and it hurts. It hurts the justice, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And it was meant to hurt. Now, I'm not saying you got to equalize everything, but if we're talking about equal rights, we're talking about people being kind one to another. And then Congressman Benny Thompson, he says the governor in the state of Mississippi, that's my governor, and I know it's Governor Phil Bryant, and he works hard as a Republican. He's very conservative. But Congressman Benny Thompson said the governor of Mississippi does not like Obamacare. I don't like using that term, but that's what he used. He doesn't like the new health care law because it was made and pushed by a black man. Now, that's very racist, very controversial. Where is the outcry? Governor Bryant looks at the law like we have here. I don't care. And I've told you here, it's not President Obama's health care law. What did he do other than sign it and push different parts of it? It's the Hillary Clinton. It's Hillary Care of 1992. It's a redo, except that the President Obama got the insurance companies to buy on, but guaranteeing them that they would not lose money. If they started losing money, the government would help take care of their losses. And that's how they got the insurance company signed on. Nobody knew about that till well after he was reelected. And there's all kind of things that we're finding out in this piece of legislation that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, pushed it through and said we must pass the bill to find out what's in it. And it's still having a death knell. There's death panels. We've talked about that. It's the people who have to decide who's worthy to live or not. When you're 70, 75, if you get cancer, are you worthy to live? Who decides? You and your doctor? No. The better word is death panels. A lot going on there. And that's talking about Congressman Benny Thompson. Will he apologize? Will anybody ask him to apologize? Does anybody care? Because the color of his skin is black, so he can say what he wants to another black man. Is that fair to say that one man that happens to be black can call another man that happens to be black names that a white person can't say? If we want to talk about equal rights, let's get real equal rights. And by all means, saying the governor of the state of Mississippi doesn't like the new health care law because it was made by a black man, now that's very racist, it's very wrong, and somebody should hold Benny Thompson to the mat. And that is a very racial connotation, and it does not create unity, it creates division. And that kind of talk is, and they went on and said that this president was unprecedented with what he's had to put up with because of the color of his skin. Oprah Winfrey said that. There may be some, I'm not going to say everything's just been easy going for President Barack Obama. You remember when President Bush was there and they hated him because of the Iraq war? They made a movie about assassinating President Bush. Has anybody made a movie about assassinating Barack Obama? I hope not. They should not. But what I'm saying is President Bush took a lot of heat from the left wing. I mean, a lot of heat. Worse in many cases. Has anybody made a movie and put it out across all the theaters like they did? President Bush, President George W. Bush, they made a movie and assassinated him on the screen while he's president of the United States. And so, yes, it's a rough, it's a contact sport in politics. I wish it wasn't that way. But you, if we're going to talk about getting to the point where we can love each other and we can say what's in our heart and we can say things, then we need, it's got to be a two-way street. Forget the cause, the color of their skin. Then how do we stop it? That's what I'd like to ask Congressman Benny Thompson. How do we stop it? If you can do that, then should everybody be able to? Or can you apologize for calling United States Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas? People are still rebuilding. And what I want to say is I appreciate the audience. I love doing this show. I love bringing out things that you may not hear anywhere else. There's so much to talk about. Next week, we're going to dive into a full show of politics. But I do want you to remember, tornadoes, life, and politics. Life is precious. There's time to put politics on the back seat. And we saw one of those this past week in many communities. As they continue to rebuild, it's not Republican or Democrat or Independent. It's people. The love of people drives us forward. And that's one reason I'm doing this show. I appreciate you. Keep listening. Next week, we're going to dive into some more of these political things, what we talked about today and then the election contest. They're building up. Primaries are underway, and many primaries are getting closer and closer in the state of Oregon. You are already mailing in your choices. And for Republican primary, United States Senate in Oregon, Doc Holliday's Rock Spitting Politics, we are supporting Oregon State Senator Jason Conger for United States Senate. We want him to be Republican nominee, so get behind him. Write his name down. If you got friends and relatives that live in the state of Oregon, give them a call. Tell them to vote Jason Conger, United States Senate Republican primary. And we'll be talking more about some primaries as they come up. Many of them on the agenda. I told you, right here in the state of Mississippi, got the Tea Party supporting Chris McDaniels, and the incumbent, Senator Thad Cochran, is him and his staff are working hard. He hadn't had a close election in decades, so we'll follow that race for you. And now, let me just remind you once again, tornadoes, life, politics. Tornadoes remind us the sovereignty of God. And you may not believe in God, but it can shake and rattle and roll. When I say it, I mean a tornado. And there's an awesome presence and power, not only on earth, but in this universe. And I just want to say, there's no atheists in foxholes. Where when you get huddled up and the house is rattling and you got your family with you, you can know there is sovereignty in this world. So make the most of each and every day and every week. Listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because like I've told you, you'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. Where else have you heard about tornadoes, life, and politics? But you heard it here this week. Share it. Tell others about it. And next week, we'll dig into some more show, some politics about the elections coming up and some of these ongoing things that are heating up again, like Benghazi. Till next week, God bless. See you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.